Let's say we're live.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this edition of Blog Talk Radio. The show is called Passions, and I am your host, Beverly Mahone. And you know this is where we get together every Sunday night to talk about what? Our passions. And right now, the passion all across this world seems to be with social media. Yes, can you believe this? Social media is the hottest ticket since getting a ticket to Game 6 of the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Orlando Magic. And we all know how that ended, and I'm still not happy about it. I'm still grieving over the fact that LeBron James is not going to have an opportunity to get a championship for the Cleveland Cavaliers, but more so a championship for himself, because he's just is such a well-rounded young man, and it's just such a pleasure to have in the NBA, unlike some of those other no-good-for-nothing NBA players. But you know what? That's another show for another day. We will not discuss that on this show. But we will discuss social media because that is the hottest topic, as I said. And joining me this evening to talk about social media is someone I met on Twitter. And Twitter, as you know, everybody is talking about Twitter. I mean, you can't turn on a news segment or a talk show these days without someone saying they're tweeting something. I mean, it's everywhere. But I did meet my guest, Mitch Mitchell, on Twitter. And I'm not exactly sure how we came to follow each other. Maybe you can refresh my memory here, Mitch. But let's first of all just go ahead and introduce you. You live in Michigan, correct?
No.
That's right. You live in New York. You live
New York,
in New York.
Syracuse, New York area.
Yes, that's right. You know what? I don't know why I think you live in Michigan. Maybe it's somebody else I know. But anyway, okay, so you live in Syracuse, New York. Tell us a little bit about who Mitch Mitchell is before we start talking about who Mitch Mitchell the socialite is.
Well, Mitch Mitchell in general is an independent consultant. I work in a lot of different fields. My primary field is healthcare finance, revenue cycle. But lately I've been doing a lot more with, writing and social media. I've been writing articles for different sites, freelance kind of thing. And, of course, I have my social blog, so to speak, which is my I'mJustSharing.com blog, and I talk about a lot of things, internet, social media, and whatever. And that's where you and I got on the topic a couple of nights ago when we were talking about it.
Exactly, and that's what led you. Well, you've been a guest on my show before, so it's not like that, you know, incident just led you to the show, kind of, sort of, but not really. But, yeah, that's right. You know, the other night I was having some thoughts about affiliate programs, monetizing my blog, and the first person whose name popped in my head was Mitch. So I shot off an email and I asked him, I think it was about affiliate programs because I wanted to see how I could earn extra money on my blog since I'm an avid blog writer. And Mitch does it so well on his I'mJustSharing.com blog, which I read frequently. So I shot off an email, and to make a long story short, he wrote me right back and, gave me some suggestions and then said, we just need to talk about this over the phone. And we did. And we must have talked for, like, I don't know, 2 hours maybe.
Pretty cool.
And in that time period, I ended up changing my blog look, and I learned more about how to set up a blog, how to create the look of a blog, and how to monetize a blog just by going through step by step, the step-by-step process with you, which was incredible to me. So that's why I really felt you should be on the show, because I felt that there's other, there, if I could get it in a phone call, there are others out there who want that knowledge, and I want you to share it with them as well. So let's just start out by talking about what you think about this phenomenon with social media. You, I'm assuming you've been on the circuit for a while now. You didn't just come out on Twitter a few days ago. And how have you seen it progress since the time you first came out to now?
Well, you know, when I got onto Twitter, I had made an assumption that, you know, it was a lot bigger than it turned out to be. I really thought there were, like, tons of people who were on it. And, of course, you know, then I realized that I was actually probably earlier than I had thought I was. You know, when I got on, I think the person with the most amount of followers, I don't even remember the name, but probably only had about 9,000 followers. And now look where we're at, you know, where we've got Brent, Ashton Kutcher and Oprah both over a million, and some of the other people are, you know, real the high hundreds of thousands. That's just phenomenal. Someone along the way figured out, hey, you know, I can get a lot of publicity if I can get all these followers and get a whole lot of attention. And they started making it their business to do so. And that's just, you know, it's really an amazing kind of thing. I never would have thought about it. And even now, I don't go out there trying to get a lot of followers just for the sake of getting a lot of followers. But I seem to be getting people who are following me for whatever reason.
But for the most part, you know, we're looking at Twitter as the end-all, be-all. How do you think it really came to rise above the ranks of a MySpace, of a Facebook, of a LinkedIn, of a, you know, some of us are still connected on Rise, the Rise Network, which is where I actually started. So
that's actually where you and I met, on Rise.
That's right. We did. And was it Black Business something?
Yes.
Something?
Yes.
Yes. That's right. Okay.
Group. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. How is he doing, by the way? Do you ever hear from him?
Very rarely. I know, you know, after Katrina, he had to leave New Orleans, and I thought he'd move to the Baltimore area. But it's been probably a year since I've heard from him, so I'm not really sure, you know, what he's doing or how he's doing at this point.
Right. And, you know, okay, go. I want to just kind of back up before we continue on this Twitter path. But, you know, yeah, well, you're right. We connected on Rise on the Black Business site. But you know what is so interesting? I was at a social networking forum recently, and one of the things that I failed to remember or didn't even know was the fact that, remember Black Planet?
Mm-hmm.
Black Planet was the first social media site that did all of the things that all these other sites are doing now. They did it first. And it's so interesting because no one really thinks of that. And I think it's because Black Planet was targeted for a specific group, and, you know, it didn't really branch out beyond that group. And
well,
so
name, if you remember. I can't remember exactly what it is now, but a few days ago when I was going through my bookmarks, you know, getting rid of some old things, I came across something and said, what is this? And I clicked on it, and it redirected right to Black Planet. So it used to be called something else.
See, and so it's so interesting how, you know, all of a sudden now Twitter has just risen above all of these groups. And why do you think that is?
I think because, well, Twitter's got some real nice positives that the other sites don't. For instance, Twitter takes no setup. Twitter, you give yourself a name and a password, you're good to go. You have to build your page on MySpace and Black Planet everywhere else. And Twitter is live. You know, as soon as you start talking, most probably you're going to have some people who are going to immediately follow you just because you said something. And that's kind of a rush for the first time when people are, you know, following you. You say, hey, wow, someone actually cares. They may not, but that's the impression that you get. And the other thing about Twitter that I kind of like is that you don't have all that noise. the thing that drove me nuts about both MySpace and Black Planet is that you went to a page, even if you weren't, you know, intending to, and you would suddenly start hearing music and all this stuff, and pages took so long to load because there was just so much garbage.
Yeah.
You know, Twitter, when it's up, Twitter is very fast.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, I was one of those people on MySpace trying to upload music and have that whole ambiance when you came to my page. And, of course, since I'm really not tech savvy, it didn't work. So thank God for that, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
okay,
I remember people saying that you know, if you were going to have business in today's world, now this was a couple years ago, that you had to have a MySpace page, and I said at the time, you know, if I've got to deal with all that, I'd rather not have my business online. And luckily, well, it's not doing as well as some other things, and I feel that I've somewhat been justified by it.
You've been justified by quite a few things. You know, for those of you in the listening audience, let me just tell you, if you get a chance, jot down imjustsharing.com because Mitch really does, you know, give you information and kind of like take you beyond the beyond. I mean, I can actually read your blogs and really get an understanding of things that, you know, in real terms, I guess I wouldn't understand. For example, the whole, you talked one time in a series of blog posts about search engines and, you know, how you move up the ranks. Your blog or your website moves up the ranks in search engines.
Mm-hmm.
Now, explain that in simple layman's terms, what kinds of things we should be doing with our blogs and websites in order to rise up in the ranks?
Well, in very basic terms, let's talk about websites just in general. People get a website, they get it created, they put it online. Initially, the search engines send out what they call bots and spiders. And it goes.
And what are those?
Well, it's basically it's an electronic pulse. And it's an electronic pulse that goes through the Internet looking for new stuff. And that's really what it's looking for is new stuff. And so it finds all this new stuff, and if your blog is brand new, it finds your blog and it searches, you know, through everything, and it tries to figure out what you're all about. And if you've optimized it properly, it's going to figure out what you're all about, and now it's going to list you somewhere on their site. And if you've optimized it well enough, early on, you're going to show up fairly, you know, high on the search engines as a new blog, and that'll look well. And if someone's looking for a search term, they'll find you, and you're going to feel pretty good. Then what happens over time is if you're not adding new content to it, the pulses go out there. They're not seeing anything new, and so they start to ignore you. And as they ignore you, your website goes down and down and down. And at a certain point, if you're competing in a field where there's a lot of other people, you're not going to be found whatsoever. You're just, you know, it's almost like you just wasted your money putting a website out there. So that's really the important part about the web today, is that you always want to have something new on your site. It doesn't mean rewrite all of your copy every 6 months or so, because then that's Google having to figure out, again, what it is you do. But it does mean trying to find ways to keep something fresh somewhere on your site so that all the search engines have a reason to come.
Oh, so, now, see, I did not know that. So you're saying even on a website. Now, I can understand that for a blog, because I do believe that you need to have fresh content. As a matter of fact, if I go to your blog and you haven't written a post in 2 weeks, I won't be coming back. And so I understand that. But on a website, you're saying there's got to be something fresh in order for the search engines to find that you're out there?
Yeah, unless you're a popular site. For instance, well, CNN has fresh stuff. But say CNN didn't have fresh stuff, but CNN was still getting a million visitors a month. Well, okay, CNN will survive. They will do well. But without fresh stuff, you get nothing. You know, they have no reason to keep coming to your site. They're not expecting to see anything new. Every once in a while, they may send something out, you know, a couple months here and there, you know, looking for something, but it's not going to find anything if you don't have anything new. So, yeah, it's real important for websites, and that's something that a lot of business owners don't understand. You can't just put up a website and think, okay, it's going to start generating everything for me. You have to try to do something to keep it fresh.
And how often would you say you should do this, update?
Well, see, there's the issue. It depends on what you're calling an update. For instance, what we were talking about the other night is you look for different things that maybe you can add to the site rather than always going through and change your content. Some sites, for instance, will have an articles area, and they may add a new article every couple of months or so. Well, that's new content. So that way it helps to keep your site a little bit fresh because now you're adding something new. Another way, obviously, is to add a blog to your business site. And what that does, of course, the premise behind blogging is that you're writing new content all the time, whether it's, you know, a couple of times a week, every single day, or maybe even once every couple of weeks. At least there's something new. Your blog might not get a lot of attention if you're only writing every couple of weeks, but because it's new content, if it's attached to your website, it's new content. And so that will keep search engines coming.
I see. So attaching a blog to your website and updating the blog still generates it as an update. Okay. Okay, so I got that now. Okay, let's talk about website hosting. Are there any hosts that are better than others, in your opinion?
There are. I'm not going to give any names, but I'm going to give some recommendations. I think that if you look at the big companies, you're probably pretty safe in knowing that your hosting is going to be, you know, you're going to be fine. I've had an experience back in, I think, 2005 with a host, with a friend of mine, where we were using this host, and it wasn't one of the big ones, and their server went down that had our information, and then suddenly their server brought all of their servers down, and we lost everything that we had online.
Oh,
luckily, each one of us had backed up everything on our computers as a fluke, so I was able to reload all of my information back, but I'd had a blog on that site for over a year, and I had like 150 posts. And they were all gone. It turned out that I hadn't backed up the blog post because back then I didn't know how to do it. I got lucky, and this shows you the power of blogging. I wrote something on my blog about how I'd lost all these posts, and someone said, hey, well, you know, Google does this cache, so if you go and look up your blog name, you can probably find all your posts. And by goodness, I did.
wasn't that time-consuming?
I didn't care.
I wanted
content back.
I got you.
I've learned now that I back it up, every couple of months to make sure that if something happens, if I get hacked or if the server crashes and I lose everything, that I can put all my posts back. However, I'm now with a bigger name company where I know that they're backing up their servers to a whole bunch of other servers, so they should never lose my content, but just in case.
Okay, so when you say back up your content, what does that mean?
Well, I'm on WordPress. I have a WordPress blog. I know you have a Blogspot blog. And on WordPress, there's what they call, we have what we call plugins. And plugins do many different things, you know, all the different kind of things that you can think of. But there's one specific for backing up your blog. So it backs up everything, every single post you've made. If you had links to images or whatever, it backs it all up, and it puts it all into a file so that if something happens and you need to reload it, you can, you know, reload it. You pull your blog back up, and you tell it, okay, open up this file, and your blog is back.
You know, the one question that I often hear from other women specifically and questions that I have had myself is, if I'm an active blogger, which I am, I mean, I blog at least three times a week. I try to. If I'm an active blogger, how can I turn my blog into a money-making machine? Because I know it can be done. I've seen too many ads from people who say, oh, I made $5,000 blogging last month. You can too. So how can I, if that's or is that not a legitimate commercial?
Okay, no. Here's the reality, and it's funny because I was writing about this somewhere else earlier today. Oh, on a forum. The reality is that the overwhelming majority of people who are making any money on their blogs whatsoever are probably making $100 or less, if they're making that much. It's just not happening. Yes, you do have some people who will make pretty good money. You know, these are probably guys who got into it as a business way earlier than everybody else. When everyone else was just writing about their day and talking about took my dog to the park for a walk, these guys got on there and started writing about business, and they were making a whole bunch of money. The truth of the matter is that even these guys aren't making money truly by just blogging. They're making a lot of money because they got advertisers. Advertisers saw how many people they had, and so they signed up to advertise on their blogs, and they let them get special discounts into other programs. And because they get so many visitors, they generate these nice bits of income from all this other stuff. They were in the game a lot earlier. There's other people who are able to do it because they create different products that they can sell. But for the most part, the overwhelming majority of people are not making any money. As a matter of fact, based on a New York Times story that came out this week, it looks like 95% of anybody who's ever started a blog has basically abandoned it. So it's not
95%?
Yeah. They looked at a survey that Technorati did in 2008, and Technorati stated that out of 133 million blogs, it looked like only 7.5 million of them had even one update within 120 days. So that pretty much says 95% were abandoned.
Why do you think that is?
Because blogging is not as easy as people think it is. Writing in general isn't as easy as people think it is.
I'm glad you said that because... I'm a writer, and I know that it is not easy, so go ahead.
Well, I'm a writer also, and the truth of the matter is that when I created my first blog, and it was a business blog associated with my other business site, and I knew that I had a lot of different things that I did with my business, so therefore I left myself a whole lot of topics to discuss. Well, you get some people who get on there, and they'll say, well, okay, I'm going to have a niche blog, and I'm going to talk about knitting. We'll just pick knitting as an example. So I'm going to talk about knitting. So they write 5 or 6 posts on knitting because this is something that they love. Well, now they're sitting there one day and saying, geez, I don't know what to write about anymore. What more can I say about knitting? I already gave away the tips that I had. I'll think about it. And then a couple months later, they're still thinking about it and say, well, I guess I didn't have anything to say. There you go. I mean, that's one thing. People forget what it is they want to talk about because they've niched themselves too small. The second thing that happens is people get disappointed because they're not getting a lot of visitors. They're not getting a lot of visitors because they forget that you don't just write something and people are going to show up. You've got to find the people and give people a reason to show up. So blogging isn't a one-way street. You know, nobody, well, okay, some people, I guess, since I know Seth Godin doesn't, not only does he write on anyone else's blogs, but he doesn't accept comments on his own blog. But for the most part, you can't just write a blog and think people are going to find you. You actually have to work for it. So you have to be ready to go look for blogs that are either similar to what you write or at least have something out there so that you can make comments on their blogs and people see that, and that will drive them back to your blog. So if you don't participate in the game, you're not going to get any action. And you know, that frustrates a lot of people at some point where they feel, oh, no one cares what I have to say. Why am I wasting my time? You've got to work at it also.
I totally agree with that. And just to kind of elaborate on what you said, that's one of the things that I started doing before I had a blog. I actually started going out into cyberspace, so to speak, and looking for boomers who were writing about subjects that I was concerned about. And so I was kind of getting a sense of, you know, where they were going with, you know, their thoughts and topics, et cetera, et cetera. And then I started looking at, you know, I started narrowing it even further. You know, then I went to female boomers and then female boomers who had children and grandchildren. You know, so I was really honing in on some specifics. And then, you know, after I kind of got a sense of what was going on out there, then, of course, I created my own blog. But I created my own blog as a result of my book because I wrote around my book that I was trying to sell at that time. So what you said about...
Sell yourself. Tell the name of the book.
The book is called Whatever. Whatever, A Baby Boomer's Journey into Middle Age. But, you know, something you said about writing and writing being hard. I don't think the average person really understands or respects the writing process of a blog or a website, because I've seen a lot of garbage out there. There are people, one day they may be talking about the sun is shining and it's all good in their neighborhood, and then the next day they may be talking and they're upset because they went to some department store and they didn't have something they were looking for. It just seemed to be so, you know, like here and there and everywhere with no real consistent theme. And do you agree that every blog or website should have some kind of theme? Or no?
I'm going to answer this two ways. If you're hoping to generate income, yes. If you don't care about income, no. Write about whatever you want to write about. I think that it's more interesting for people to write about what they care about than anything else. If they care that, you know, they have all these different animals in their backyard and every single day there's something new and they want to describe that, they're going to write better because they have a passion for it. And people are drawn sometimes to passion. I mean, obviously, I follow close to 230 blogs, and all of them are not on topics that, well, I would probably say interest me as far as my business goes. But there are just some people who I find fascinating here and there, and I just want to see what they have to say.
Now, I'll agree with you on that. I mean, there are people that I just think – there are people I think write really well, and I do look for your writing. If you don't write well and you can't collect your thoughts in a blog, I can't read it. And I have not read a lot of blogs because of that reason, but that's just me, so – okay, let's talk about, you said that not a lot of people are making money on blogs, and probably the average person might be making just maybe $100. So how can we monetize our blog? What are some of the different ways we can do that?
Well, the easiest thing to use is AdSense, Google AdSense. And Google AdSense is easy because pretty much all you have to do is sign up with an account, which a lot of people might have already if they have Gmail or if they're using, you know, Blogspot. But you sign up with an account, it gives you code, you plug the code in wherever you feel like plugging it in, and now you're ready to make money. You know, Google has many different formats. They have different ways that you can color it, so you can decide to make it stand out drastically or you can blend it in, which is usually recommended that you try to blend it in some fashion with your website. And if you have PayPal, you can put in email address, and when you make so much money, they will send it to you, either, you know, electronically, and it'll go right to PayPal, and you can transfer it to your bank, or you can put in your information, and they'll send you a check. It's really, AdSense is the easiest thing in the world.
Okay, and so... what can you expect? So, yeah, but they say, though, that they won't send you any money until you've accumulated about $100.
Right.
So, okay, now, so let's talk about this. How long could it conceivably take to accumulate $100? I mean, could you accumulate $100 every couple of months, every 6 months, every year, what?
It's all based on traffic. It really is. I'll tell you this. my blog doesn't make almost any AdSense money whatsoever. And the reason being is because it's basically considered, even though I don't really consider it that way, but in general it's considered a make-money blog. There's a lot of people who are writing make-money blogs or review blogs or blogs that have to do with computers and whatever. And most of the visitors that they get are people who pretty much get it already, but they're just trying to learn a few extra things. Those people aren't going to click on your AdSense ads because they already understand. I mean, they get the same ads, and you know, they've looked at a lot of the same information. So, you know, if you're in that kind of niche where it's just flooded with people and they already get it, you're not going to make anything off of that. I make the majority of my AdSense money off of one of my niche websites. It's geared towards medical billing. And it is right now averaging about $75 or $80 a month. I've actually had a couple of $100 months from just that website. And, you know, that one, because it's geared towards a certain group, they know, well, a lot of them who come to that site don't know anything about medical billing, and they're looking for answers. And they'll click on the ads looking for other answers.
Okay, but Mitch, let's back up here, because you talked about this medical billing website. So what you're saying is then AdSense, you don't really have any control over what ads they put on your website. So no one has the control, right? They're basically looking for keywords or a theme of your website and then placing ads based on whatever the content is, correct?
Exactly. But what happens is that that's considered targeted traffic. So say, well, if someone comes to that website through a search engine and they looked up something in medical billing, they show up on that website, if they click on my AdSense ads, I make more money per click than I would if right now you just went in and you typed it in and you went to my site. Because it's considered targeted traffic. You get paid more for that. And that's really the essence of AdSense. You've probably heard some people talking about, well, yeah, I get all these people who come, but they don't really buy anything because it's not targeted traffic. The traffic doesn't mean anything. The basic thing with sales says that the people that you're hoping show up, at least in certain places, are people who are willing to, you know, buy something in some fashion. And in my mind, I equate that with AdSense. In essence, they didn't find exactly what they wanted on your site, but AdSense is putting something else up there that they can look at and say, well, maybe this is more what I want. And so they click on that. You make more money from that click than you would if someone was looking for carburetors and they happen to show up on your site and they said, well, that looks interesting, and they click on it. I don't know how AdSense, how Google or whomever knows how those people are getting there, whether it's targeted or not, but they do.
That's really, really interesting. So then you should be mindful of the content on your website because that is going to determine what type of ads are actually going to be placed there. And if you have anything that may draw some unwanted type ads, and let me give you an example. I did a press release last year. It was for the Baby Boomer Diva Nation. And somewhere in that freepressrelease.com, they pulled some words out of there and ended up placing, I called them porn ads. They were like, you know, sexy singles, dating ads.
Oh my.
But they were rather raunchy. And I thought, well, how did they get this out of what I wrote? I couldn't see the connection. But then as I read closer, I started looking at some of the words, and I thought, oh, they pulled this out of this. But sure enough, they did. And so we fought long and hard as a group of women to get them to remove those ads, which they ultimately did, and we claimed victory for that. But you just have to be mindful of what you're putting out there, because if you're trying to get targeted traffic, you may not get the targeted traffic you're desiring.
Yes, exactly. You know, I look at my I'm Just Sharing blog, for instance. I diversify. I talk about the internet. I talk about affiliate programs that I find. You know, I do a lot of testing with things that people can possibly make money with. So I talk about those kinds of things. I've talked about writing. I've talked about blogging. I've talked about Twitter. Every once in a while, I talk about diabetes because I have diabetes, and so that becomes a topic that I talk about because I'm just sharing. I created that so I could talk about things that are important to me. So I diversify in a lot of different things. I'm sure that in some fashion, search engines might know what my site is about, but, you know, I don't stick to just one general topic. And so I don't get the same kind of return if someone clicks on a AdSense link on my blog. I don't get the same return that I do on my medical billing website where everything is geared towards medical. But I don't care. I mean, if I really wanted just that, then that's all I would write on, but I'm thinking that would be boring. And the last thing I want to do is be boring.
Right. Let's talk about the affiliate programs and how one can make money from, you know, utilizing that particular program. Because it is a different program than actually using AdSense or pay-per-click or some of those other ones that I've heard of.
Well, let's talk about one in particular. There's this one I mentioned to you the other night, and it's called Commission Junction. And I'm going to use them because they're probably one of the first companies that was out there a long time ago. And basically what it is there's advertisers. There's some big name brand advertisers, and then there's some people who, other companies who you may not have heard of. But they all sell different types of things. And I'll use this example, I don't know this person's real name, so that's how come it works out well. Met her a long time ago on one of those social blogging sites. And she has a website that only talks about hydroponics. That's all she writes on. Well, actually, it's a blog.
Hydroponics. Okay, what is that?
Hydroponics is where you grow those little plants inside the little bubble in your own house.
Oh, okay.
You know, you've seen those little things, and it takes a lot of work. But you can grow your own plants, and you can grow your own little vegetables in it, and it's, you know, it's its own little fun thing, but some people swear by it. Some people only eat whatever it is that they grow. So it's really a super niche. But she did that. And so what she did is she went to a site like Commission Junction. I'm not sure if she actually went to Commission Junction, but she went to a site like that. And every product that she has on her blog is around hydroponics. So she'll have, you know, the different hydroponic things. She'll have, like, the plant food that you have with it. She'll have the special lights. And that's all that's on her site. So it's totally targeted. So people find her site. They read what she has to say, and she's always writing about it. I guess I didn't realize there was so much you could write about it, but she's doing it. And so she writes only about that, and people come, and they're fascinated by it, and she recommends certain things, and they buy that stuff. And she was generating about $3,000 a month. And she is one of those people who is really making that kind of money. And it's a niche group. It's not thousands of people who are going there, but these are people who are going there specifically to learn about hydroponics. That's the power of niche, if that's what you want to do.
Wow. That's an awesome. Okay, So when you sign up, do they take a look at your blog, or do you tell them what you're interested in, or how does that work?
Well, you answer a few questions up front. You know, they want to know the website. It's more the website, not necessarily that it's a blog, but it's a website. And any websites that you want to put their products on, you can put them all in there. And they'll ask you, you know, real briefly what the websites are about. And so you can fill that information out. And then they'll let you know if they'll approve it. And for the most part, they're going to approve you. And then you can go through their listings, and they have something like, I think at this point, 2,300 companies that they're affiliated with. And some of them are big names, like I said, and some of them aren't. But if you see something you're interested in, then you can click, and you've got the opportunity to be an advertiser for them. And if they accept you into their program, then you're good to go. And one of the things it allows you to do, on Commission Junction is you can make a determination whether you want to add text links where it'll just give you the HTML for text and you can embed it that way, or you can put up banner links, or, you know, banner ads of different sizes if that particular advertiser has those. And some of the advertisers actually have products, and you can search for certain products. And if your advertiser happens to be one that sells that product and you've been accepted by them, then you can copy that code into your site, and now you're selling products.
Hmm. Okay, so that's the one you would recommend. Are there others that you think that, you know, also would be worth looking into?
Well, another one that I use, and it used to be called, I think, Connect Commerce or something like that, but now it's called Google Affiliate Network. And I use them mainly for Barnes & Noble. As you probably know, I write a couple of newsletters, and I have
yes.
you know, my other sites. And in my newsletters, I always like to recommend a book, whether the book pertains to the particular topic at that time or it's just a book that I found fascinating. And what that allows you to do is Barnes & Noble is one of those companies that allows you to actually go on their site, find a book that you want to recommend, and then the Google Affiliate Network will actually create the link for you so you can add it to wherever you want to add it. And then if someone clicks on that, they may buy that book. You earn some money from it.
Uh-huh.
And
wow.
So I like that for Barnes & Noble, but there's other things that they have on that site that will allow the same thing, where you can go and look up, you know, certain products and then put them on your sites and sell that specific product, as well as, you know, the banner ads and text ads, you know, whichever direction you want to go.
Okay. You know, we talked the other night about cosmetics. I'm kind of changing the subject a little bit here because it just came up in my mind. And one of the things that you had indicated to me, which I have since changed, by the way. I don't know if you've actually seen the blog since I made the change. But you talked about the color scheme and how the actual ad link should blend in with the blog, and it shouldn't look, you know, just like stand out. And more cosmetic things about pictures on your blogs and other ads that are on your blogs and how they should not be running off the page, et cetera, et cetera. Why is that important, the cosmetic look of your blog or website? I mean, because, you know, some people don't seem to think it really matters, and obviously I didn't either because it didn't stop anybody from coming to read my blog posts. I mean, and nobody wrote me and said, oh, Beverly, girl, you need to do something about that blog of yours. It looks terrible. I mean, so, you know, I'm thinking that everything is okay. But then you said, no, it's not necessarily. So explain that, if you will.
Well, think about it like people. What do they say beauty is with people? Beauty is symmetry. And people are drawn to beauty. Everyone, you know, everyone looks different, and everyone has their different version of beauty, but the one thing that always stands out is symmetry. So the same thing kind of happens with websites and with blogs. Your eye is looking for symmetry, and it kind of sees beauty regardless of, you know, the colors that you use or the style that you use. But our senses are somewhat offended when we see something that stands out, that just throws it off. Sometimes we know what it is, and sometimes we don't know what it is. For instance, when I had looked at your blog the last time, and I saw that you had changed colors, and I'm not sure if you had changed the theme at that time, but suddenly you had this image over there that was talking about an award you got, at least I thought it was an award, but it was cut off, so you couldn't read the whole thing. So my thought was, well, okay, why have a badge that's giving you an award and you can't read it all? And you just couldn't. And then your AdSense that was on there.
But wait a minute. It did say WINNE, so you had to know that the last letter was R.
No, but for you it said WINNE. For me, on mine it just said WINN. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can assume that, but the whole thing is that if you're looking for people to keep coming back and you're looking for people to, you know, really see you as a professional. You want to put that best foot forward. And that's really
because
what
that's the key, right? That's the key, looking like a professional.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. I laugh only because of the fact that, you know, I never really thought about, I'm not saying that, you know, of course, I know I'm professional, but those are like, for me, little details that I just didn't think were really all that important.
I want a lot of
because
people to that.
It's the content, because it's the content. When you come to my blog, are you coming to my blog to look at everything that's on it? Are you coming to read the post that I've written for that day?
Well, let me ask you a question. I mean, and you know, you're going to know this answer, but think about this. You are in media. So does it matter that your client shows up on the Today Show looking nice and dressed with the hair perfect, and she's got this great topic she's going to talk about? Or can she show up in jeans and the hair's got three different colors and got a hole in the shirt? Are people going to say, are they going to ignore that and listen to the message, even if the message is something that will save their lives or make them a lot of money? Or are they going to concentrate on this person and say, well, why would I listen to that person? Look at that. They don't even know how to dress themselves or how to show up appropriately.
Yeah, you're right. And the thing of it is that, you know, it would be a reflection on me as well. So you're absolutely right. I totally understand that.
Yeah.
I totally get that. Yeah, I get it.
You know, and that doesn't mean that you can't allow for style. You know, I mean, obviously there's people who have a lot of style and they can do a lot of things. I'm thinking about, this is odd, there's this new singer named Lady Gaga, and nothing about this woman. And one day I was turning the channel, and I saw her on Ellen's show. And so I'm looking at this woman and saying, okay, she's a little out there, but you know what? She had style, and she had symmetry. And I just sat there looking at it saying, wow, that's something different, but it's not offending my senses. It's not Marilyn Manson. It's not hurting my feelings.
Right.
You know? And there's someone who, you know, whether you like the music or not, you had to say, you know what, she put it together, it's balanced, it kind of all fits together as a style. It's something different, and it's something unique. And obviously it's working for her because I think the song went to number one, and she's making all kind of money now, and that's fine. But had she kind of come out there and she was dressed like Phyllis Diller used to dress way back 20 years ago before she had her plastic surgery, I don't think that anyone would have listened to the music at all. And she probably, you know, that would have been a very short music career. And unfortunately, like that.
Okay, but then, okay, that gets off into another subject altogether because, you know, it could be a matter of just creating your own style with your website or whatever the design is. But I do agree with you. I think that you need to have something that really does look professional. And if you can't do it on your own, then certainly hire somebody who can create the look you want.
Yeah, and if I can, you know, let me add a little story here. I mean, just real briefly, because it's not always about the look. And we were talking about getting people to come to your website and getting the search engines to find your website and, you know, help you find the right people. A couple weeks ago, I was working with a friend of mine here, and she did a specific thing. And so we're looking at the screen, and I took a piece of paper, and I put it over two-thirds of the screen, and I had her look at the top, and I said, okay, what do you see there? She says, well, okay, I see, you know, part of my site. I said, okay, what do you do based on what that says? And she said, well, geez, I guess I didn't tell anyone what I did. I said, okay, let's go down another third. So we went down another third. I said, okay, what do you do? She says, well, I help people solve problems. I said, no, that's not what you do. What do you do? I said, you're a Microsoft Office trainer. Where is it on your site? And it was nowhere on her site. And I said, so basically what you told people you do is a lot of nothing. You haven't told anyone you know, exactly what you did. What you told people you did is what they'll get out of it, but you haven't told anybody how. That's where a lot of people, you know, kind of mess up on their websites to begin with, because Google and Yahoo and whomever else are going to search through the site, and they're looking for something, to say what your site is about. And there was nothing there saying what the site was about. If the site is about solving problems, but you don't say how you do it, search engines are not people. They have absolutely no idea what it is you do unless you tell them.
Okay, gotcha. That's really interesting. So in the few minutes that we have here, you know, every time I talk to you, Mitch, I know that I should always set a two-hour show up because we could really talk about a lot of things in a longer period than just 1 hour. So I guess what I'll have to do is just have you come back as a recurring guest so that we can always talk about all of these subjects before.
Hey, send me a bucket of chicken and I'll talk for 3 hours.
I love it. Okay, so we're going to go back and wind on back to Twitter now. And let me ask you this, because everybody's talking about Twitter. You know, you've got folks on here saying, oh, well, you can make all this money, you know, being connected to Twitter, and all these testimonials from people who are saying that they've, you know, gotten all these clients off Twitter, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I have seen some success stories, and I will say that Boomer Diva Nation has benefited greatly from Twitter. There's no doubt about that. But can, you know, what do you think are the real strategies or the real keys to being successful as a business person on Twitter?
I think the keys are, you know what, they're the keys to being successful whether you're not in business on Twitter. One thing you have to do is you have to at least provide some kind of good information, some kind of content, something to help keep you relevant. For instance, every one of my blogs, whenever I have a brand new post, they post on Twitter letting people I have a new blog post. Now, on its own, that would get me probably nothing. But I have worked some other things. For instance, I actually will talk to people who are following me. If I see, you know, messages out there and they've kind of put out a thought, I will write them and I will make a comment on it. And I have gotten into some pretty nice conversations. And when they appreciate it, then they share me with a lot of their friends who I might not be following or who might not be following me. So that's one thing I do. Another thing I do is if I see that someone has written a post or shared a link that I think is very informative, I will do the retweet. And you've seen me do that. And
yeah.
So now that shows someone that I've appreciated something that they've shared with us, whether it was original from them or whether they're showing a link to something else. So I kind of actively engage people. And I think that shows, you know, that I at least will take the time to read what people are having to say. And so for me, I believe that it shows that I'm at least a regular person. Now, is it doing any business? I think that I have gotten people who have visited my blogs because they see links that I put up there. And if the topic is right, they'll visit. And I'm sure that I've gotten a couple of people who have subscribed to my newsletters, because every once in a while I will put a link to the newsletter on Twitter also. And if they like that, then they'll subscribe, and I think that that works out. So from those standpoints, that has worked out pretty well for me.
So then to answer the question, do you think that there is financial success on Twitter?
I think there can be. If you engage people and people get to trust you, then you will have the opportunity probably to make some money if that's, you know, your goal. I think that we both have seen a lot of people where all they keep posting is the same thing over and over, and they're posting their affiliate program all the time, or you see the exact same link to the exact same thing, and when you go to it, it's a pitch for something else. And they don't do anything else. They never talk to anybody. They never retweet anything. It's them. It's always about them. You know what? I drop those people because I'm not into selfish. You know, I think that I'm into a little bit more social. After all, it's supposed to be called social media. It's not, you know, advertised on TV. It's social media.
Right. Right. And I have come across a lot of those same people as well, where, you know, it's almost like they're not a real person, because when they send out a tweet, it is something that, like you said, takes you back to a link, and then you look at the link and it is something that they're selling. And then you think, well, if I converse with them, they could at least give me the courtesy of a response. And, you know, I don't know. I think for as much as social media, online social media is, I still think that face-to-face networking is still crucial. I think it's still relevant. And I just hope we never get to a point where we really believe that online social networking will be the end-all, be-all of all that we are. So I'm glad for the connections of people like you, because, you know, I do believe that at some point in life we're actually going to meet each other. I don't think that this is just something, well, you know, yeah, we're just kind of online and we're talking, whatever. I do believe at some point we will meet each other, and I think that that should be the goal of the connections that you make that you're really serious about.
Oh, for sure. Heck, maybe we can set something up and we'll all meet in New York City.
Yeah. No, let's go to Michigan. Why not?
Oh, my.
Okay, well, Mitch, how can folks get in touch with you, and what do you have to offer? Any books or anything that you want to let them know about?
Oh, goodness. Well, you know what? I will put it this way. My site for things that we've been talking about tonight is imjustsharing.com. And from there, you will see products that I've created. One that I created for small businesses, an e-book called Using Your Website as a Marketing Tool. Further down, you will see books and seminars that I've written for my other business. And I wrote my first book in 2002 called Embrace the Lead, which is on leadership and management. Haven't written that healthcare book yet, but that's why I created the website to try to answer some of those questions. But, you know, you can start there. On my I'm Just Sharing site, I have an about page and I have a contact page. And that will tell you a lot about me, and that will show you how to find all the other things that I have.
Okay, well, there you have it, Mitch Mitchell. And what's your Twitter handle?
Mitch_M.
Okay, there you have it, folks. And even though he won't toot his own horn, I'll toot it for him, because Mitch is not only a very knowledgeable expert in his consulting area, but he is also just a joy to connect with on Twitter. And when we have the Follow Fridays on Twitter, I always say that he's one of my baby boomer men who inspire. And so I do appreciate that, Mitch. And folks, if you're on Twitter, got any questions about Twitter or any questions about social media at all, you know, contact Mitch, and he'll be happy to answer your questions. I don't know if you should call him, like, late at night, but, you know, if you call him at a respectable time, surely he will definitely answer you. Okay, well, you know what, folks? That is going to do it for this edition of Passions here on Blog Talk Radio. It has been my pleasure to come and bring you information you can use and to share the passions of others with you. Because you know what? I think you can always learn something from someone else. I'm a firm believer of that. And you never know how that person's passion can lead to your own. And remember this. If you are living without passion in life, you are simply living in a fog. And nobody wants to do that, do they? Okay, well, Mitch, as we cut out of here, who do you think is going to win the NBA championship?
Oh, the Lakers. Remember, we had that debate about who the actual MVP was. I know who everyone else elected, but I think mine is going to win me a championship.
Okay, and on that note, I'm definitely saying goodbye. Goodbye, everybody.